Rachel was now starting to realize just how masterful the president's plan was. Politics was a media game, and Rachel could already imagine the enthusiasm and scientific credibility the face of Michael Tolland on screen would bring to the press conference. Zach Herney had recruited the ideal man to endorse his little NASA coup. Skeptics would be hard-pressed to challenge the president's data if it came from the nation's top television science personality, as well as several respected civilian scientists. Corky said, "Mike's already taken video depositions from all of us civilians for his documentary, as well as from most of the top NASA specialists. And I'll bet my national medal that you're next on his list." Rachel turned and eyed him. "Me? What are you talking about? I have no credentials. I'm an intelligence liaison." "Then why did the president send you up here?"
"He hasn't told me yet."
An amused grin crossed Corky's lips.
"You're a White House intelligence liaison who deals in clarification and authentication of data, right?"
"Yes, but nothing scientific."
"And you're the daughter of the man who built a campaign around criticizing the money NASA has wasted in space."
Rachel could hear it coming. "You have to admit, Miss Sexton," Ming chimed in, "a deposition from you would give this documentary a whole new dimension of credibility. If the president sent you up here, he must want you to participate somehow."
Rachel again flashed on William Pickering's concern that she was being used.
Tolland checked his watch. "We should probably head over," he said, motioning toward the center of the hemisphere. "They should be getting close."
"Close to what?" Rachel asked.
"Extraction time. NASA is bringing the meteorite to the surface. It should be up any time now."
Rachel was stunned.
"You guys are actually removing an 8-ton rock from under 200 feet of solid ice?"
Corky looked gleeful.
"You didn't think NASA was going to leave a discovery like this buried in the ice, did you?"
"No, but..."
Rachel had seen no signs of large-scale excavation equipment anywhere inside the hemisphere.
"How the heck is NASA planning on getting the meteorite out?"
Corky puffed up.
"No problem. You're in a room full of rocket scientists."
"Blather," Ming scoffed, looking at Rachel. "Dr. Marlinson enjoys flexing other people's muscles. The truth is that everyone here was stumped about how to get the meteorite out. It was Dr. Manger who proposed a viable solution."
"I haven't met Dr. Manger."
"Glaciologist from the University of New Hampshire," Tolland said. "The fourth and final civilian scientist recruited by the president. And Ming here is correct. It was Manger who figured it out."
"Okay," Rachel said. "So what did this guy propose?"
"Gal," Ming corrected, sounding smitten.
"Dr. Manger is a woman."
"Debatable,"
Corky grumbled. He looked over at Rachel.
"And by the way, Dr. Manger is going to hate you."
Tolland shot Corky an angry look.
"Well, she will," Corky defended. "She'll hate the competition."
Rachel felt lost.
"I'm sorry, competition?"
"Ignore him," Tolland said. "Unfortunately, the fact that Corky is a total moron somehow escaped the National Medal Committee. You and Dr. Manger will get along fine. She's a professional. She's considered one of the world's top glaciologists. She actually moved to Antarctica for a few years to study glacial movement."
"Odd," Corky said. "I heard UNH took up a donation and sent her there so they could get some peace and quiet on campus."
"Are you aware," Ming snapped, seeming to have taken the comment personally, "that Dr. Manger almost died down there? She got lost in a storm and lived on seal blubber for 5 weeks before anyone found her."
Corky whispered to Rachel,
"I heard no one was looking."